Hour number two here on the Friday of week zero. Probably our last Friday we're sitting around here until the end of the year, when from now on we'll be out on location every single week. And a couple of those locations we hope to run into this next guest. Hopefully he'll be sober. We don't know if he is or not today. Hello to Michael Bratton of That SEC Podcast. Brad, what's up?
Hey, Paul, I'm doing good, and thanks as always for having me, but I should lead with, I would like to apologize first and foremost to Coach Hugh Freeze for winning 7 national championships. Paul, when he got hired, he said he was going to bring championships to Auburn. I never thought he could do it. He's done it. I think he found him on the golf course, and we should celebrate this man until about this time next week when he loses his first game at Baylor. But until then, we should celebrate him, Paul.
And I don't know about you, Michael, but he won the Senior Masters this morning at Augusta too.
Did he win it or did he claim it? Because there's two different things there, Paul. But either way, congratulations.
He shot a 48, lowest round ever recorded at Augusta National. Hey, Mike. Quickly, your reaction to the news that is now 23 hours old. We've been talking about this forever. And then we want to know what you think some of these opponents will look like. And then I heard what you said about Hugh Freeze, and we'll also get back to that in a few minutes. We want the censors to calm down before we get to the good stuff.
Well, first of all, Paul, we need to congratulate, I think, Commissioner Sankey and the SEC presidents for doing the right thing, going to a 9-game conference schedule. I realize this may make it a little bit more difficult for some conference teams out of the Southeastern Conference to make the college football playoff. But aside from that, Paul, I see no negative here. I mean, this is a huge, huge, huge win, I think, for every SEC fan out there. We're going to keep rivalries. We're going to have better games. We're going to have better television product. There is no downside. We should not be catering to the teams that aspire to be 6-6 and now maybe only go 5-7. We should not cater to the coaches that, Paul, for as good as they may be, I would say 2/3 of them won't be there in 5 years at their current stop. So why are we catering to these guys? We should cater to the fans. The fans, I think, get lost too much in the shuffle. And I think the Southeastern Conference did the right thing going to 9 games. This is, you cannot have a 16-team league and have 8 conference games. I think that would have been foolish.
So I know you've been playing around with it. You can go any way you want. But what do you think are going to be the most likely opponents for the main teams in the SEC?
Well, I mean, that's a loaded question there, Paul. And I tried to do this live on my show yesterday as the news was breaking. And I have a full – you want all 16? You want me to go through them all or which teams?
Yeah, well, listen, we're fair to everybody here. Just go through it.
Okay, for Bama, obviously Auburn, Tennessee, LSU. That's apparently Nick Saban was too afraid to keep that schedule, but he's gone. So we'll give it to DeBoering. Arkansas.
Michael, you called Nick Saban afraid? I mean, after all, didn't he argue initially for the 9 games until he found out who he was going to have to play?
You took the words right out of my mouth, Paul. I mean, yeah, this was the bad. I believe he's even said, hey, let's play 10 conference games. And then he found out, oh, wait, yeah, Tennessee's been revived. Auburn's a solid program, and then LSU, he said, never mind, I don't want to do that. So he retired and left that to DeBoering. So, I mean, Alabama is not going to get any favors, I think, in this new-look SEC.
DeBoering. Keep going, Auburn.
Auburn, of course. Well, you know, we got to keep the Iron Bowl going, Georgia. And then I think we give them a break. We give them Vanderbilt. Which, again, go back to Hugh Freeze, that's not a program he can beat, but that's a program he could compete with. Florida, I think you give him Georgia, South Carolina, LSU. I mean, those are all fantastic games. Georgia, give me Florida, Auburn, South Carolina. It's kind of a travesty, Paul, that South Carolina, Florida, and Georgia have not played last season and they're not going to play this year. I think we need to keep those in the annual rotation. How about LSU? Bama, Florida, Oklahoma? I mean, sign me up for all those. Oklahoma, Texas, Missouri, LSU, Tennessee. We got to be fair now, Paul. Tennessee, I think they get Bama, Kentucky, and Vanderbilt. We got to this Vanderbilt-Tennessee game, this Kentucky-Tennessee game. We cannot break these. These are traditional games that I mean, we got to cater to the Tennessee there. Texas, Oklahoma, A&M, Arkansas. I think that's a given. And A&M, Texas, Mississippi State, maybe LSU. But those are the key ones that I got my eye on.
Yeah, and by the way, I'm not really sure how they're going to do it. Although something tells me maybe they're already run the computer. So of all these games that we haven't seen, what stands out to you? I mean we're going to get better games. I think that's certain. But what else? What other aspects of this do you like?
I mean, the main one, Paul, is that we'll get to keep great games like Texas and Texas A&M. It would be foolish after 12 years of those fans bickering, and then we bring them together, and then we break them apart again. So we get to keep great rivalries. But I think even more important and lost in this, you know, three permanents, six rotating talk is everybody wants to focus on the three. I think that's largely irrelevant with the six rotating, because we'll get great matchups that we should be getting more often, like Texas, Tennessee, like Auburn, Florida, that they used to play every single year. All these teams are going to play each other every single year, and that goes back to what I was saying. I think the fans are the biggest winners here. They're going to get to travel the entire conference in a four-year span. The same thing for the players. Just all the great matchups that we could conceive, we're going to get them every other year.
Michael Bratton with us. Michael, I heard what you said earlier. A week from tonight, Auburn will be at Baylor. That's the first really big game. Missouri plays on Thursday night, but the Auburn-Baylor game will be eagerly anticipated. And you've already made your pick?
Well, yeah, we've been sitting around talking about these games for, 8 or 9 months, so I figure I might as well predict the thing. But I mean, I like Auburn's talent. In fact, I love Auburn's talent. I even like Jackson Arnold, who is a huge X factor for Auburn this year. But clearly, I'm not a big fan of the coach, and I don't know how anyone could, aside from the national championships that he just inherited this week. I mean, the game has passed him by, and I think the last 2 years on the Plains are evidence of that. And this is a dangerous, dangerous game, Paul. Friday night, nationally televised. All the eyes are on you. And social media and the fan base, it's going to be a buzz if you drop that game. You should win it, but Hugh Freeze should win a lot of games that he finds ways to lose. So, yeah, I like Baylor to beat Auburn.
Now, Michael, I feel like I need to be fair to Coach Freeze. He's got a great resume, great record. Why would you say that the game has passed him by?
Well, I happened to catch this program yesterday, Paul. I mean, you were talking about, Birmingham Bowls, Music City Bowls, losing by, 30-some-odd points, didn't make a bowl game last year. And I heard one of your callers say, I think, why is Lane Kiffin, or Lane Whiffen, as I like to call him, why is Lane Whiffen always trolling Hugh Freeze? Is he jealous? Well, last time I checked, Ole Miss is in the top 15. They won 10 games last year. What is there to be jealous of, Paul? I think if Lane Kiffin wanted to be the head coach of Auburn right now, he'd be the head coach of Auburn, but he passed on that. And maybe he'll have that opportunity here in about 3 months to take that job again if he really wants it, but I don't think he does.
Auburn did get a commitment yesterday from, I think it was the top safety in the country, so some of that recruiting starting, I'm just reading this from a card that somebody just handed me, Michael. Don't be surprised. Michael Bratton with us. Michael, what other big predictions do you have for the first week of the season?
Well, I know everyone's got their eyes on two games, LSU at Clemson, and yes, that is a huge game. We all know the narratives. LSU's not won an opener since 2019. But win or lose, I mean, obviously winning would be huge for LSU, but I don't think losing that game is that big of a deal, given all the preseason buzz about Clemson. I think it's more about the third game for LSU when they host Florida. If Brian Kelly loses to Clemson, if he turns around and loses at home to Florida, I may drive down to Baton Rouge and pack his bags for him, because he's going to be not wanted anymore down there, I would imagine. And Texas, Ohio State, Paul, I know they've only been in the conference for one season, Texas, but they are essentially carrying the flag for the conference. And I think The SEC really needs this one to get back to the Big Ten after the Big Ten won the last two national championships. I think Texas winning in Columbus would be huge for the Southeastern Conference, and I don't think there's a team in the Southeast that'll be rooting for more this opening weekend than Texas to beat Ohio State.
Michael, in terms of this Big Ten SEC thing, and that's a big topic on shows like this, narrative nationally. Just your thoughts on that debate, because we get so many random calls from Ohio State fans, from Michigan fans. Put that into perspective for us in terms of what is at stake right now for the SEC.
Well, and I should have led with this, Paul. I hope Ohio State is not cheating. You know, I don't think a Big Ten team would ever cheat, except for maybe the last couple that won the national championship. So I hope it's a level playing field. But again, fair or not, I'm the biggest SEC homer out there, but the conference has won the last two national championships, not even made the national championship game. So I think there is a void with Nick Saban stepping down, and the Big Ten has taken advantage, and it really is a war right now, I think, between those two with so many things, with expansion on the horizon perhaps, with television contracts. I just really believe that the Southeastern Conference has to stake their claim to college football, return to dominance, because we all know the Big Ten, really they're only about three or four deep. The SEC goes about 12 deep, but nobody cares about that. What people care about is championships, just like down in Auburn. We can't just sit here and claim it. We got to go out there and take it. The SEC's got to start that, I think, in Columbus.
So let me end with Auburn, because you seem to have a few thoughts on that I don't want the audience to miss. It's one thing to claim a championship after you win one. One of our guests told us the other day that Auburn was planning on doing this out in 2013 at the Rose Bowl. And remember, they had the lead against Florida State until 13 seconds left, when Gus Malzahn and his defense completely melted down and literally threw away a national championship. They didn't do it. Why do you think they did it now at really one of the more vulnerable moments in Auburn history?
Well, I think you kind of led me right into this one, but because of everything that is going on, because this was a massive, massive opportunity, Paul, with Nick Saban stepping down, and Alabama certainly, again, I'm very high on Alabama this year, but I've been wrong before about a prediction, Paul, but I think there is a window there for Auburn to seize the state, and not only have they fumbled it, I mean, they have, flushed it down the toilet and burned the house down. You know what I mean? Like, they have missed the opportunity here by a massive, massive amount. And I think this is the only opportunity to generate some momentum, because all I've heard all season about Auburn is, golfing, recruiting is in shambles. And can we get back to a bowl game? The standard is making a bowl game at Auburn. It used to be championships. Like you said, Paul, it wasn't that long ago. Auburn was competing and Auburn was winning national championships. They just retired Cam Newton's number. I think that was the right move. So I think they're trying to return to glory, because it wasn't that long ago they had it. And I think they will recapture it, Paul, as soon as they hire the next coach. And it's probably going to be old John Summerall. I mean, he's a good coach, Paul.
Yeah, I've heard of him. Michael Bratton, thank you so much. We hope you have a great weekend. And we also hope we'll see you again here one day, probably – no time soon, though, after this episode. Michael Bratton joining us to begin the college football season. We'll take a short break.